from Meredith College political science professor David McLennan. David, good morning. Always appreciate your time.
Good morning, Chris. Good to be with you.
The race for the state Supreme Court remains too close to call. This is between Judge Allison Riggs and Judge Jefferson Griffin. Can you bring us up to speed on the latest in this race?
Yes, it's a very close race, as you said, only several dozen votes separating the two. We're at the point of canvassing, and that is the collection of final ballots from the different counties, where we're counting things like provisional ballots. These are people who may have voted in the wrong precinct or may not have had voter ID, these sort of things. And so it's just a handful of counties. I think we're down to only one county, Forsyth, I believe, who is yet to finish their vote counting. And so, you know, this is an important election for the state Supreme Court. And today is the day in which, if the challenger wants to demand a recount, this day to do it by noon today, I think. So it's a very important day. It should be wrapped up, at least in the initial canvass.
But it certainly feels like we're heading toward a recount. Is that kind of where you read the tea leaves as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so close. And again, a recount does not necessarily guarantee that the candidate who's behind will overcome the person who's ahead. But it's worth the challenger's time to ask for a recount by the state. Again, we're talking probably right now, you know, around 50 or 60 votes. And that could be, you know, some errors in the counting process or something like that. So, yes, it makes sense to do that.
Why is this race, David, so important for both political parties?
Well, right now, the Republicans hold a big advantage on the state Supreme Court, a 5-2 advantage. If the Republican were to win this race and unseat Judge Riggs, that would give them a 6-1 advantage. And that's a huge advantage. The state Supreme Court has made some very significant rulings, always does. And so Republicans, to keep their advantage on the court, would mean that, you know, some issues that may come out of the General Assembly or maybe between Governor-elect Stein and the General Assembly could be looked at by a Republican-led Supreme Court, and it just could increase their advantage.
Let's talk about things from a national perspective now. President-elect Trump continues to nominate many folks for his cabinet. Many have drawn criticism that he has nominated, most notably Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, who has been nominated for Attorney General. Just curious what you make of some of these selections by the president-elect.
Well, Donald Trump is sort of following his script. I mean, he is an unconventional politician, and he's making unconventional nominations. You know, and these are some of his most ardent supporters. Like Matt Gaetz has always supported Donald Trump, including claims that the 2020 election was fraudulent. Others, Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor, strong Trump supporter. So I think my biggest takeaway is he wants a cabinet of people that are completely loyal to him. On the flip side, these are people that don't have a lot of experience doing what is demanded of them in the job. Matt Gaetz has had a limited legal career and has never been a prosecutor, and that's really what the Attorney General is the nation's chief prosecutor. So, unconventional pick.
As you think about the Gaetz pick in particular, I'm curious, what does this do, and what kind of predicament does it put someone like a Senator Tillis in to confirm or not to confirm somebody like a Matt Gaetz?
Well, Tom Tillis is probably in the most vulnerable position because he's up for re-election in 2026, and he's already been criticized for not being completely loyal to Donald Trump by other Republicans. So it puts him in a very big bind. I mean, he is a good senator and really thinks through a lot of issues. So Matt Gaetz's criminal investigations and just behavior while he's been in the House have put someone like Tom Tillis in a very difficult situation. If he votes against the confirmation of Matt Gaetz, he can make himself more vulnerable in 2026 to a primary challenge.
As we let you go, David, circling back to the General Assembly, which is back in session, we hear about the veto override, perhaps more funding for Hurricane Helene. How important is this next couple of weeks for the General Assembly before the Republicans lose that veto-proof majority?
It's critical. I mean, they do lose that veto-proof supermajority by a small margin. And so they pretty much, if they vote along party lines, which is expected, that they could overturn Governor Cooper's veto and vouchers would go into place. They could also make sure that a law that requires sheriffs in North Carolina to support immigration efforts, that goes into law as well. So, you know, they could make some very significant changes to North Carolina in the next few weeks, plus helping the people in Western North Carolina. We've seen the bills come in for highway reconstruction and just help. The bills are enormous, so they've got a big challenge in front of them.
I always appreciate the perspective, David. Thanks so much for the time, and I know we'll be talking again very soon.
Look forward to it, Chris.